You can find today's reading on page 1042, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Don't worry, as it's a new term, it's a fluke of the rota that I'm standing here for the second time in 3 weeks. I'm going to take a long lie down after today. So here we have Jesus' ministry, and it's in full flow. Just before the passage that was read to us, he had sent out 72 of his followers to go out into the local villages to meet the people, to minister to them, to heal them, to teach them. And immediately after that, he told the parable of the Good Samaritan. And now he arrives at Mary and Martha's house for supper. And before I comment on the passage itself, I'd just like to say a few words on that context I've just set out. Here is Jesus. He's in Bethany, so it's just a few miles outside of Jerusalem. So it's the epicenter of the Jewish faith. So you've got the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, 2 miles from the epicenter of the Jewish faith. And yet he had no house of his own in or around Jerusalem. And he's relying on his friends for food and for shelter. How different from the world's leaders. So I refer us to Philippians 2. Jesus humbled himself, taking the very nature of a servant. I also refer us to Hebrews 13 for a view from the opposite direction, from Martha and Mary's direction. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. To the passage, here he is with Mary and with Martha. And there's no mention of their brother. And his name was Lazarus, the man who Jesus raised from the dead. These are Jesus' close friends. They are mentioned several times in several different passages of the Bible. He spent a lot of time with his family. They are truly close friends of Jesus. In John chapter 11, we are told Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. So in today's passage, we see Martha rushing around. She's trying to prepare the meal, and Mary is just sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him. So I wonder, who do you identify with in the story? Are you more of a Martha, or are you more of a Mary? Well, with so much to do, Martha is understandably a bit fed up, and she complains that Mary isn't helping. But Jesus says, well, he sides with Mary, doesn't he? No, Martha. Mary has chosen the better way. And I always think that seems a bit tough on Martha. I mean, Martha is serving others, isn't she? She's doing just as Jesus commanded. In fact, she's not just serving other people, she's directly serving God and his work. Without her, maybe Jesus goes hungry. Maybe he can't go on to the next village to preach there. Acts of service like Martha's are essential to God's purposes on earth. God calls us to serve as Martha did. He also calls us to be like Mary. And those few words are a pretty good summary of the whole gospel. God calls us to serve others, like Martha did. He also calls us to be like Mary. Jesus puts it like this in Matthew 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So Mary is doing the first. Martha is doing the second. And this passage has given me an almighty nudge, I think literally an almighty nudge this week about the order of those two things. Because when I preach, I usually end up saying, well, I challenge you to do X this week. Or I hope you'll respond by doing Y. I don't apologize that I do that. We do need to be doers, just like the 72 that Jesus has sent out to the villages, just like the Good Samaritan he's just talked about, and just like Martha, we need to be doers, we need to serve. But a balance is needed. Our lives must also follow Mary's example. So there must be times when we just slow down. There have to be those times when we just sit quietly and we nourish our souls. Our spiritual health suffers if we don't take time to meditate, to pray, to worship, just simply to spend time with God. So I wonder, how much are you nourishing your soul? You've probably heard of the great preacher Charles Spurgeon. He said this when he was speaking on this very passage. Do you spend so much time rushing around that you have little space for prayer and reading the Bible? If so, I tremble for you. You're removing the foundation stones of your life and you're piling them on the roof. Do not neglect the part of your life which is secret between you and God. Well, if that's what Charles Spurgeon was saying, I think I have to ask again, how much time are you spending nourishing your soul? This passage has also reminded me that at the very heart of the gospel is grace. God giving his riches to us. He doesn't always give us earthly riches. Jesus did not live in a palace, as I said. But look at what God does give us. He gives us our very lives. Pardon from sins. New life in heaven. Peace, which the world cannot give. And all those wonderful spiritual gifts, joy, patience, etc. God gives generously. And like Mary, we need sometimes to just sit and spend time ready to receive from him. Jesus came to earth to do many things, but more than anything, he came to give us eternal life. Give us eternal life, a gift, not something we earn, a gift from God. As we sang in that opening hymn, because of your love, we're forgiven. Simple as that. Because of your love, we're forgiven. A gift. So who should we try to emulate, Martha or Mary? The answer's got to be both. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, as Mary did. But we're also called to love and to serve our neighbour, following Martha's example. And I think these two things, these two sides, are inextricably linked. I find it interesting that when Jesus brings Lazarus back to life, Martha says this in John chapter 11. Martha, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Martha got it. Martha got it. She truly got it. She got it all, both sides. Nevertheless, Jesus commended Mary even more. So I think it's just worth, before I close, it's worth understanding why. Because Martha got it, but Jesus commended Mary even more. So what did Mary do? Mary spent the evening listening to the Lord, and she spent it treasuring every word that he said. I think she was completely lost. Lost in wonder. Everything else, clearly from the story, was forgotten, wasn't it? All her other duties were completely forgotten. She was lost in wonder at Jesus' feet. And this is worship. And as she worshipped, God fed her soul. How do you think Mary would have felt at the end of that evening? I think she would have been so happy, so excited, so encouraged. I also think she would have been energized to go out and do what Jesus has said, serve others. I think this is God's wonderful, amazing, incredible design. As we receive from him, so we will in turn be inspired to love and to serve others. As we receive from him first, then we will be inspired to love and serve others. So first, let us receive. Second, let us give out of those gifts we receive. There is another occasion when this wonderful family invite Jesus for dinner, and we read about it in John chapter 12. So let me take you to that briefly, because that is where we see Mary in action. She listened carefully to Jesus' teaching. She had heard him speak about dying and suffering. And now in John chapter 12, we see her response. What did she do? Mary went away and she prepared precious nard in order to anoint him. Verse 3. Mary poured it on Jesus' feet and she wiped his feet with her hair. And the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. I cannot think of a greater act of worship in the whole of the gospel. And where's that come from? It's come from Mary spending time with Jesus. It's come from Mary meditating on Jesus' goodness. It's come from Mary nourishing her soul. This is the best way. The very best way. So in conclusion, my message today, I think, is about getting the right balance in our lives. Yes, we ought to abound in doing good to our fellow men. We mustn't neglect the vital business of serving others, but we must also feed our souls. And that means spending time in prayer, in worship, reading the scriptures, reading Christian books, meditating on God's wonderful character. It means being still. Several of you are very still at the moment. It means enjoying the beauty of the creation out there. It means confessing our sins and seeking forgiveness. And it means sharing in fellowship, in church, in house groups, in alpha courses. Time invested in those things reaps an eternal return. There is a wonderful verse in Matthew chapter 6. I think you probably know it. See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. 10 o'clock, how do the lilies of the field grow? They just reach up to heaven. They slowly reach up to heaven. And they soak up the goodness of the sun. Mary was the same. Mary reached out. She reached out to heaven in worship. And she soaked up the goodness of the sun. She soaked up the goodness of the sun, S-O-N. So I said earlier I was wrong to end every sermon by saying we need to do X. So I've made it my mission this week not to do that. Unfortunately, I cannot break the habit. So I'm going to do it anyway. So here goes. Are you listening? Perhaps you shouldn't be. If you are a Martha, make some space to do some marrying. Waiting on God, receiving his grace, soaking up his goodness, nourishing your soul. In fact, it doesn't matter whether you're like Martha or not. Whoever you are, make some space to do some marrying and some lilying. First, let us receive, and then we can give. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, like Martha, many of us are worried and burdened by many things. So I pray as we move into communion now and also in the weeks to come, I pray that you'd help us to be still, to rest in your presence and love, to receive your peace, and to know that we are dearly loved, just like Mary and Martha, dearly loved. Lord, I pray in the coming weeks you will nourish our souls. Amen.